easy and how user-friendly the whole process can be. Hopefully we'll have some fun. This is going to be really hands-on, and I'm going to really try to, no questions out of bounds, just raise your hand, let me know if anything gets confusing. I tend to go quick. I just had a cup of coffee, so I might go a little fast. But overall, I just want you to understand and grasp how important and how fun and how good this can be, not only for administrators, but for kids. We've had a lot of luck in our district getting everybody signed on to it. People are excited. The beauty of an audio podcast is that you don't lose any time in the morning. If you're doing attendance, you're checking your email, you just turn your speakers on, you can listen. And you can get your information, you can get your point across. It's a little bit more expeditious and fun versus maybe a newsletter. I mean, you get to kind of multitask and you get to kind of figure out what's going on. But at the top here, I'm just going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Joe Domino. I'm a technical trainer, a technician, and a webmaster for the Grandview School District. I've been there since, I think, 05 now, so I've been there for about 3 years. And I've been educating both youth and adults for the past 6 to 7 years. Sometimes I lose track. We are the first school district in the Kansas City metro area that has implemented anything podcasting-wise for the public to get involved with. I've noticed recently there's been several districts that have kind of trickled in and used them, and I've actually had other districts contact me, and I don't have any monopoly on podcasting or anything, so I'm usually pretty open about this is what we do, this is how we do it. There's no 7 essential ingredients to my Colonel Sanders recipe. It's out there, it's free, and I think to have a thriving district or set of districts, you should be able to have a free exchange of information. So that's been happening too. We've actually branched out recently and done video pods too, which is a lot of fun, especially with the kids. They love that whole new YouTube generation. If they can get out there and see motion picture and they can do it, they can edit it, and they can have something that they do, an event in their school highlighted, they completely love it. And the principals that really buy on, the key is if you can get your principal to buy on and understand that this is a manageable technology, it's fun, and you can really get the public to understand. If you're telling them that you're on the cutting edge of technology, you should be able to show that to them. That's been my stance from the word go. Because no one in my district ever said, hey, Joe, can you get podcasting going? I just knew that was a wave that was happening. I figured out how it worked. I got the programs installed. And once I did that, and once people figured out how much fun and how easy it can be, everybody started kind of buying onto it. So we kind of have a full organism working right now with the podcasting in our district. I'm going to kind of go through the agenda here just to let you know what we're going to do and kind of what the rundown is, what we're trying to achieve today. First of all, I want to kind of go through what a podcast is, different types. I have a web portal that I've actually created here. It's a bit fuzzy up here, but our web portal is www.csd4.k12.mo.us, and then there's a slash, and it's successlink08.htm. And that is a specific portal that I've created. We'll have some samples. There's a agenda that we have, the actual podcast curriculum, and then the program that we're going to use. I know I'm going kind of quick, but I'm going to recap this. We'll make sure that we get it written down and we get all of these elements here. We're also going to load up Audacity on your machine, and then I want you to team up with somebody, or you can do it solo, and I have some questions here on page 3 that I kind of want us to just go through. And if you really, really don't want to, you don't have to, but it's a nice way for you to understand how to record the audio, and then we're going to kind of mix it. I'll show you how to kind of edit it and how you can layer some things in so you can have kind of a full pod. We're going to save this audio file now. There's several ways to do it. You can save it as a project in Audacity, which means when you come back into it, you can edit it and mess around with it. You can also rip it out as a WAV file or an MP3 that at that point, you could go ahead and put it on your web portal and go from there. I'm going to show you how to add clips to a file, saving a final edit, and then at the very end, we'll have some questions, anything you want to know to kind of refine this process. Without further ado, let's just talk about real quick how the podcast came into creation. It's basically, they say pod, and I think it's confusing sometimes. They think you have to be in the Mac world, or you have to have an iPod. You don't. You just have to have a computer, something that can play an actual audio file, and that's it. And it's more of a low-rent way of actually having your own radio station. All you're doing is you're disseminating your own information, your own entertainment, your own news, and in our case in school district, you're highlighting all of those different aspects of your school. I mean, you could even weave in a recording that has the kids singing the national anthem so it's not so choppy and, you know, whatever. It's more of a refined process. You could have, you know, clips of an assembly. You could have the lunch menu read. You could have all of these things up front, and then you could also just interview former graduates. We're pretty good about doing that. Hustling out people that have, you know, really done some good stuff in the world. For instance, I'm going to try to get Josh Packwood. I don't know if you may have seen it. It was a national news item. He went to Grandview High. He graduated valedictorian, and he went to Morehead, I think, which is a all-African-American college, and he graduated there as a valedictorian. He's a white kid. And it's one of those things, yeah, and he was the one, he went to Grandview High, and, you know, it's interesting, now that he's kind of this big celebrity guy, it's like all the teachers are just like, he's the nicest guy in the world, and nothing was motivated by anything more than he grew up in a very mixed environment. He, you know, had varying backgrounds, and it's interesting. That's the kind of stuff that you can put on your web. You can find graduates and different people that have been in the district, and it just adds stock to your foundation, raising funds, and just showing that your end product is to ultimately create and send kids out in the world that are adept to, you know, sell. So essentially, podcasting pretty much kind of got to the forefront in 2004, and now it's just kind of a common household item. You can get it on iTunes, you can subscribe to different feeds, there's all kinds of different. In fact, I have on the second page at the very bottom, I have some links here. If you want to go back, you can take a look at what other people are doing, which there's something to be said about imitation. You can always get little aspects of what people are doing and understanding the process. But there's an educational network, there's IndiePodder, PodcastNet, there's all kinds of different podcast portals out there. And again, iTunes has a really nice one too. You can subscribe to a lot of their pods, and it's a really popular way of doing it. Let me go ahead and show you several different pods that we have on our web portal. And again, this is a specific page that I've created for this training, and it's our website /successlink08. It's actually, I'm sorry, .html. Add an L at the end because that will get you HTML. So what we have here is if you click on each of these, they're PDFs, and you can pull up. This is the curriculum and agenda. For any reason you want to have a copy of this, you can save a copy when you get back to your district, or if you want to do it now on a flash drive. Mm-hmm. And I've also done the same thing with the curriculum. I know last year when I trained here, I had a lot of people that really wanted this curriculum, and I ended up emailing it out, but if you want it real time right now or when you get back, it's always going to be there. And why don't we go ahead and listen to a sample pod. This one that I'm going to click here is, pause it real quick. This one here is a former student. We have an alternative school, and there's a lot of students that like to come back and go out in the world, and they're very successful. And they all come back, and they talk, and we just have a chat. And the superintendent loves it. Everybody that listens to it really enjoys it.
Another installment in our Grandview Alternative School graduates coming back and talking about their experiences. Today, Amy Cameron will interview Faye Closer and talk about what's going on with her today and who she recommends should go to the alternative school.
Hi.
A little hard to hear, but you get the idea. You kind of have an intro, and that's kind of the general flow of what we do. We kind of do an inverted pyramid, who, what, when, where, why, and then we go in, and then we interview, and we kind of go through it. And I splice music in between, so in between questions, kind of that NPR style of doing things. You kind of have, you know, a piece of music in there, you kind of break the monotony, so someone's not talking the entire time, but that's kind of an example. These are also very nice, too, and I call them pods because they're the same thing, but there's video incorporated into it. And I'm not going to really get into how you're going to edit, what programs you can use. In the Mac world, you can use Final Cut. And in the PC world, there's Adobe Premiere, which is a nice program. And you just pull your video in and you can do the same thing. But this is a reflection our superintendent had at the end of the school year. He just kind of talked about how the school year went and kind of looked forward to the next school year. Yeah.
You need the Adobe Premiere to create that?
Yeah. You can. We have locally on our machines, we have Movie Maker, which is a convenient way. Sometimes you get a little bogged down with that because it doesn't have the capabilities of a Premiere can get. Yes, that's a good thing. I haven't used the Express version, but I'm sure they would have a light version in there, Premiere. But at any rate, this is one here. Another one here that was kind of nice was the alternative school, and they're very, very involved in our school and doing a lot of things. They had an open house where they did these art projects, and they had them on display, and I just kind of went through, and this kind of talks about the background. But it just goes through and shows all the art, and the kids love it. Their parents get on the website, they see it, the community connects to it, they can get out there, and they see that you're a very involved school district. You're really connected to your kids, and you're doing some things, you're highlighting some good work. But, you know, all their names flashed up there, and, you know, and then we just kind of go through, and I just kind of go table to table and show these projects. They got a grant to do a poetry tree. And what they had to do is and they did it all year long. They had all these different projects that culminated into this final project of doing some artwork that represented the poetry trees. And they all kind of, like, she did a guitar and had all these little wires coming out and stuff. But they really liked this. It was a good way for them to kind of show off what they're doing with their family and friends.
So is there a limit on your website how much video and audio? We don't have, at this point, any ours is all, you know, static. We don't have any video or audio.
Yeah, I am very glad you asked that because that's the number one fear. When people want to get involved with doing this process, they think it takes an enormous amount of space, and it doesn't. That video right there probably lasted for 3.5 minutes maybe, and it was 5 minutes, which is nothing. My entire podcasting and video page, which is rather robust, probably doesn't even hedge on half a gig.
So is there a way you have to save it, or maybe it'll show us that?
Whatever the word, compress it.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. The only space that you're taking up, and I always have to kind of reallocate on our network because I'm the one that does all of this, is when you actually have a project. Because if you're going to do something, say like video, you're going to have the raw video feed, you're going to have the pictures, you're going to have the audio, everything that you have in there, that one folder can be almost a gig, you know. But once you get in there, there's a way that you can compress it out, like a Windows media file, and you compress it out to like a 3 to 5 gig file.
So is this like just the normal rendering that does that?
Yeah, in your rendering process, yeah. It'll mix all those channels, it'll condense it down. There is a way that you can rip it out of a higher feed if you wanted to actually put it on a DVD, which is an option. But if you're really doing it for the web, you won't compromise on quality if you get in there and you just rip it down the right way. And I'll show you, even with an audio podcast, I've had a ton of audio clips in there, and I've ripped it down into MP3. And MP3 is a smaller format in the way, and it's incredibly small. And that's usually a fear when I talk to a lot of districts and individuals that want to do this. Their IT director may not understand, or their superintendent, what you can do with technology, and they think it's just going to run their server to the ground, and it just doesn't. It's a lot smaller than a lot of things we have on our server.
Well, I mean, I can imagine, you know, we just have some photo slideshows on our, you know, and the parents and kids love that.
Oh,
I can't imagine how they would love this.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, one other thing that I do, too, which is good, is I have a training portal on here. And I use a program called Captivate, which is kind of the same thing. It shows you in real time. So I'm kind of going off-center a little bit, but the idea is that you can get these interactive elements to your website. It just adds a personality to it. So let's go ahead and move on down the list here. Let's go ahead and go to that page that we were on, the Success Link page.
I can't get that. I'm not in my computer.
It's not connected.
Right.
there should be up in the corner. Oh, you mean the actual?
Yeah, will this be available?
Yeah. Yeah, once you go back, yeah, if you want to just jot it down,
okay.
When you go back, you can just.
You'll leave the 08
on here. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it will be up here for quite a while.
Oh.
It may have just been one letter that got in there.
I cannot open up.
Oh, the internet's not coming up at all. Let's see. Maybe you
go ahead.
But I've known with a lot of districts that if the IT people just don't understand, and there tends to be a quote-unquote God complex with the IT department, that if they just don't do it, then you're kind of hampered. But we try to be as accommodating as possible, because it's frustrating. And I know a lot of teachers do create their own web pages, and I'll host them on our site. Like the theater department wants to have their own event, and we let them, and they can host it.
Well, it gets to the point, it's just like the lady was saying, and students show me how to get around things.
Yeah.
And I don't say anything because if that's something I can use in my class.
Yeah.
And it's got educational reasoning to all the curriculum.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Has anyone else dealt with podcasting, or is this all brand new?
All new for me.
All new? Okay. Okay. Let's go ahead and get started here with actually using Audacity. And I did have a clipboard that was going around in here.
Right here.
Okay.
I missed it.
Okay. So once everyone signs in, as a follow-up, I'm going to email you this link so you'll have it. And I'm also going to make a sample podcast of what we're doing today as well and all that good stuff. So, this will be out there. So let's go ahead and click on Audacity program. You should get a prompt that comes up that says open or save, unless it just deploys automatically. But what you're going to want to do is you're just going to want to go ahead and open.
Oh, okay. Okay, when you're done.
Okay.
You can Google Audacity. That's just as well, too. And once that happens, once the program starts deploying, it's going to go through the regular method of asking you, you know, do you agree with the terms that they're downloading and all that good stuff. Okay. I see it. If you can hear it, it's a pod. You know, if it's an MP4, MP3,
whatever. I've been using Movie Maker, and then I use Audacity to do my recording.
Sure.
Music and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's not a true podcast. It's not really
true. No, I think the format's just kind of a technicality. I think overall, if you're making something that people can see or hear and enjoy, it's definitely within that realm. I have it loaded on my machine, so I'm just going to go ahead and bypass this and go ahead and open it up. If that's the case... Is this your first
time?
Why don't we go to Google and type down Audacity?
Anybody else need the clipboard?
And if it starts giving you, looks like you're getting, yeah, I just go to Google and type download Audacity, and that should do it for you.
Have you had any issues with the beta version?
Sometimes the only issue that I ever have with Audacity is when I've ripped out an MP3 for the first time, it tries to find a DLL file.
Lane.dll.
To get around that, what I do is I run a search on my machine for that file, and there's a ton of programs on your machine that has it. And once I find it, I find out what it's associated to, and then I'll go in and I'll show you, because I think this is the first time I'll
save. Do you want us to use the beta?
Yeah.
The one?
Yeah, first time.
Does the beta have any new features that the other one doesn't?
There might be some that are tucked away, some added effects and some different ways of saving it, but I haven't seen really dramatic changes from beta to earlier versions of it. So once we have, I'll kind of wait for everybody to kind of get a version downloaded. But in the meantime, and we can catch up. What I'm going to do here real quick is,
Oh.
Thank you.
answer a question here real quick. One thing that we have, when you click on it, there's a very easy program out there that you can, I'll show you what I'm talking about. When you click on it, you're not just getting an audio file. What you're getting here is you get another screen, and then there's this, this isn't the right one to do, this one here. So when I click that, I have this little program that I use, and I embed in a code this podcast, put a picture and put a description. So while you're actually listening to it, you can have a little visual that comes up. So I kind of have this, instead of it being just something where the audio file grabs QuickTime or grabs Window Media, it can just grab this window. It's HTML based, so. And if you're interested in that, I can send it to you. I can email it over, you can save it down, and you know, however you want to configure it.
And what do we call it when we email
Send me the window that
the window.
Will display the pod. Something along those lines.
That's
because you've got it, you know what's going on. Okay. Save it as a project, which is this one right here, and you're going to save it as an Audacity project. It's going to, the extension is going to be .au, and that's how you'll know. But it'll actually save it so it's a project that you can open back up here in Audacity. The other ways that you can do it is you can save it as a WAV file, or you can export it as an MP3. I recommend the MP3 option, and I'm going to do that because I'm going to show you, it's going to probably ask me for that lane.dll file, and I'll show you how we find that.
So there's two of them. Which one? Export as or export selection?
Go down. Let's see. You may have a newer version that has a, let's see what it says.
Two objects.
Let's do a recording real quick. And we don't even have to do an IMS.
IMS successfully turned.
And then now you go to file.
Yeah.
So now you can do.
Save project or save project.
Let's do it two ways first. Let's do a save project so you actually have the project saved. And let's just save the project on your C drive. So just navigate to my computer, go to your C drive, and just name it SuccessLink. That way, you have a clean, pristine copy of this. So if anything happens to your MP3 or anything happens over time, you have a clean copy. And that's just good technical logic that you'll want to use with this, just in case some of these things just happen once. The kid's going to read a poem once, and you want to be safe. You want to make sure you have it, because it's nothing worse than having to track someone down and do it again. So that's a good way to do it. Okay, so at this point, you just hit save, and it's going to save an actual copy of this on your hard drive. Then, let's do the MP3 option. So we'll export this as an MP3. Same thing, let's navigate to our C drive and hit save. And then now it's trying to find this lame_enc.dll. And it's asking me to locate it. So whenever I say OK, I want to locate it, I'm going to go down here to start. I'm going to go to search for files or folders. And I'm going to go to all files and folders, and I have the C drives selected. So you might want to move this over. Just for reference, you'll see this lame_enc, and you're just going to type that in there. And you're going to hit search. It shouldn't take too long to pull one up here.
What happens if it doesn't pull one?
That you're fine. Then it already recognized somewhere along the line it found that file without you having to manually do it.
So I mean when you go to search, you know.
Oh, and it doesn't pull one up?
Mm-hmm.
I have you can go out on the web. Yeah, let me see how easy that would be.
Is that what it always says? lame_enc.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go to Google and do a download lame_enc. Okay, first one that came up here, there's a free download. Let's see if this works.
Did yours find it?
I'm not sure
it means.
Mine didn't.
No, it's not yet.
Yeah, I never can find it when I do that.
Interesting.
No.
At work, I've never had any problems with it.
That's why I asked.
Let's
because it'll let you save as WAV, it just won't let you convert, it just won't let you save as MP3 without it.
Yeah, exactly, which is...
what
yeah,
you want.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and click here and see if this does it. Okay. Looks like I got a zip file here. Yeah, it's still not downloading over there for me. I'm going to see if I can unzip it if it works. Yeah, it looks like a clean file. I'm just going to drag it over here, drop it. Oh, now I found, well, I found it because I unzipped it. But that was the first search on Google, so if you just do a, you know, download, lame_enc, I'm going to go back over here, and now that it's there, I'm going to select it, hit open, and now it's just saved it for me. And it didn't ask me what the name of it was because I already saved it as a project, so it knew to name it successfully. So if we go in and take a look here, you'll see that it's right there. And it's a 100 kilobyte file. So. Okay. So now that we have this piece right here, let's say we want to put some music, layer some music over it. What you do in Audacity is, you come up here, the project, import audio, and I have some music on here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in a, there's a My Music folder on here, and I think they have sample music. Yeah, I'll put Beethoven's 9th.
What is your thought on adding something?
Commercial music, adding it, you have to be really careful in this day and age, especially in light of what Viacom's going through essentially Google with YouTube right now. You know, they came up with a settlement, and a lot of people were ripping things to YouTube that had music in the background. That is increasingly going to become dangerous, and especially for a district, it can become a real liability. What I use is we have a jazz band that's really good at the high school, and they've written some music, and, mm-hmm. and I'll pull it over. There is a guy, you might want to jot his name down. His name is Kevin McCoy. It's Kevin, M-A-C, capital L-E-O-D, McCoy.
L.
What's that?
L what?
McCoy.
L-E-O-D.
L-E-O-D. And what he does is he has royalty-free music, and it's good. Some of it's a little, you know, some of it's a little, I don't know, elemental and weird, and I don't use a lot of his stuff, but I do use. He has a really big library. I rip that down, and anymore, these websites that you upload to, and even on your site, if someone wanted to find out whether or not you were using their music, they can find out in a heartbeat. They can download it, and they can rip it, and these big companies that host videos and podcasting will find out immediately if you're using songs.
So is it the indie company?
Yes, that's him.
Now, I have to caution you. I know on my emails list, they're really, you know, pushing royaltyfreemusic.com. If you dig into their licensure, they allow students to use their music, but not teachers.
Right.
And they charge you, like, $25 or a song or something crazy
sure.
like that. So I know a lot of people are really saying royaltyfreemusic.com, but
you need to be careful, because if they come back, all it is, it could just be a piece of paper that says you have copyright infringement, and if you do, they'll give you a grace period to remove it, but you probably don't want to get in that situation. I don't know if you're familiar with the musician Moby. He has a lot of soundtracks. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot throughout his life. He is nice enough and gracious enough that he's opened up a portal on his website. If you go to Moby.com, if you go to Moby.com, N-O-M-O-B-Y.
He's the grandson of Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He named after Moby Dick.
Moby.com.
Is it real? I can't remember what his name is. But he's for a celebrity, he's a very grounded, awesome guy. He has a thing that's called Moby Critiques, and I've done this several times. I actually produce content for a channel called Current TV. Channel 231 on Time Warner, and it's actually owned by a board of directors that's headed by Al Gore, but it's user-created content, and you just create what's going on in your world, and you upload it. I use Moby for stuff, and what you do is, the big thing with Moby is he doesn't want you making any money off of it. He wants it to be educational, non-profit, but what you do is you go through and you listen to all these clips, and there's a lot of clips off his albums that are very instrumental, no music, no real art, like dance music. And when you find something you want, you send a request to him, his company, and you say, this is what I want to use it for, this is why, and he'll send you a code back that you click and you download. And you can use it for multiple projects. If you wanted to use it for your background music for your podcasting, you can do it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's increasingly becoming a risque thing.
PodSafeMusic.com also has music on there that artists put on there that public domain.
Yeah.
What's it called?
PodSafeMusic.com.
I was also thinking, I've got a lot of students that have, well, I teach high school, that have, you know, basement bands.
Sure.
PodSafe audio.
And that's fine.
Why not just be PodSafe on?
That's right. And what you can do is you can layer that behind. I'm really pushing, like, the football teams and sports teams to do highlight reels. Use their music, layer behind it.
So we have a lot of things we do with the National Stuff at LA, and the music we use when kids created on their, you know, Mac.
Sure.
Yeah, GarageBand.
It was all original.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my music department.
And they created it. And so it's nice to have to worry about, running that copyright, because he created it for this project.
Sure.
And it was created to work.
You know, the thing I always figure out when I come, this is my third year coming to this Zeppelin conference, is that the more you really discuss these projects and things you can do, it's always right in front of you. The kids can help you. Like I said, if you want to do troubleshooting with problems, you want to do any troubleshooting in the class, you want, you know, things, creative things done, the kids can do it. They completely. We had broadcasts at the high school where they would do daily announcements, and there was a kid did the same thing. He did the music, and he would upload it, and it was all safe and royalty-free. But yeah, that's good. And increasingly, we're getting to a point right now where you don't want to get a letter. We actually got a letter last year. We did a video called The Prize Patrol. Our education foundation goes out and they give money to all of these teachers that want to do projects in the room, and they call it The Prize Patrol. And the actual publisher's clearinghouse got hold of the district and rang their bell hard and said, you have basically 24 hours to
to take everything that's referencing this or thought of, or we're going to have some legal recourse. And of course, they called me back, and I had to instantly get on the website, change everything, get rid of it. So now it's the grant control or something. But it's those little things that you have to be careful of, because you think no one's going to find out, but a lot of these companies have people that specifically are hired to go out and to go through all these websites to find out if their brand is being infringed, you know.
Well, what do you do your jazz band in that? Yeah. How do you, if they're playing music, they're not playing their own music, so, I mean,
how do you do that? Yeah, but usually it's bought music, same song,
right? Yeah.
Broadcasters?
Yeah. Well, they have... We would be protected technically with a copyright. Anything you create, you could put a copyright logo next to you. You created it, it was your intellectual property, that was what you did. And if you were ever to be approached, I mean, it would be simple enough to get a copyright infringement on it. But with what they're doing, I think a lot of what they do is actually original stuff. They actually go around and perform all over the place. They're, Grandview High School's claim to fame is the guy that, the trumpeter of the Conan O'Brien band, the ball guy, he graduated from Grandview High. So they have a very rich history of like sending out, you know, people that have been very influential. Jazz. I think a lot of their stuff is original, but again, if you did do some Louis Armstrong cover or whatever it was.
They have to buy those.
Sure. And I think you go through ASCAP, which is the organization of music, and you would just pay them a fee and say that you're doing. I mean, it's not like you're playing, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever on a private radio station without, you know, ducking under the radar. So I mean, there's ways to get around it. But that's the thing, you gotta be really careful in this modern day and age, you know, covering your tracks. So
Sounds of Bounds, you can buy music also. I think we bought 4 CDs for $300. And you put it on our server, and I've got Applause and Techno stuff, and I mean, the kids don't like it.
Right.
Because it's not their stuff, but
this Kevin McCoy guy, I'm telling you, really has some good stuff. He has a really broad range. He parses it out by genre, and you can listen to it, and it's really good. I used it for a lot of different videos and had a lot of people who really enjoyed it. I'm glad you brought that. That's a very good answer.
Just saying, oh, I use royalty free, and I'm like, oh,
royalty free, you know, with all of these royalty free, they have clauses that you have to read. It says there's certain instances that you just can't use it. They don't want you to use it. So I'm going to find another piece of music here, just to show you how different elements can be put in. So you have your source file here. Let's go ahead and.
I couldn't get Beethoven to work.
For some reason on here, I think my user profile was pulled from my work site, and the actual source wasn't brought in here. I think it was a shell, and somewhere along the way it was damaged. Technically, it should work, but it's just not. It's not pulling yet.
Did anybody download the lame.underline ENC?
Okay.
Which link did you use?
I had to go out and find it when I Googled it.
Yeah.
So if you go to download Lane ENC, for right now you can just do the WAV file if you want to. But I can email this out. I'll email the DLL out. So what I have here is I have just a piece of music, okay? And what you need to do when you edit this, let's just say out of this entire composition, which is about 3.5 minutes, I just want the first part of the music. So I'm going to put my cursor here. I'm going to come up here. And I'm going to use this, and I'm going to pull this out just a little bit. And I'm going to squeeze that in there. Actually, the easiest way to do this is this. I just want this first part right here. And I'm just going to pull all this over here. So I just want that first part of the music. And I may edit it a little bit more, but I'm going to, just to be safe, select this whole last part here, and I'm going to delete it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to use this magnifying glass, and I'm going to come in a little bit. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to have enough levity here. So at this point, what I can do is I'm going to select, I don't want that dead space there. I want it right when it starts. Hitting that music. I'm going to hit delete, and then I'm going to put a little bit of a fade-in here. And to do a fade-in or fade-out, which is very important on some of these clips, mm-hmm. you just go up to Effect, and there's a fade-in, fade-out here. So obviously at the beginning of the music, I'm going to do a fade-in. So it's going to be me here talking, and as I'm starting to go, it's going to kind of fade in. And then I can do the same thing at the very end here. And there's all kinds of different effects that you can use in here. You can change everything. You can speed it up. You can slow it down. You can level it out. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But I primarily, when I do my effects, I do a lot of fade-ins and fade-outs. That's one of my main things that I use it for. So, so I'm going to do a fade-out here. And with this cursor here, you can kind of get yourself positioned where you want it. This here, if you really kind of wanted to scrunch everything down and make it not sound so loud, you can do it by kind of squeezing those bars down.
That's control volume?
Yes. And you also have, yeah. And then you also have here, this is your volume as well, your left and right channel. And you can move both of those. And that will make, that will kind of deaden the sound. I usually use that versus using this here. But it's definitely at your disposal. So at this point, we have two pieces here. So you got me talking, and then you're going to have the music kick in here. So let's move this up a little bit so we can hear. And you can also go out to. Can't really hear, but the music starts layering into it, and it kind of goes into the next segment. The other good thing that you're going to want to do with the kids that they're going to love is if they do like a poem or they read something, is to have like applause at the end. Have some of those little sound clips. Same thing, Google is your friend. You can go out and go to Google and download like, I'll show you how you do that. And you know what I can do too? I will make that little portal a little bit more robust. I'll put a zip file out there for you. I have a ton of different clips that, you know, range from anything from a sound of a lawnmower to clapping to laughing, anything like that. You can layer those in. Those are really good to have in there. But if you go out and you want to just do it on your own, you can go to Google and you can go download and do wave sound effects. Because they usually come in waves.
Now, do those have any kind of copyright
on them? I don't think so. And if there is any real reservations, they do have the government portal where, like, the old Shakespeare plays, they're all domain free. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, you can use it completely free. But they do have free sound effects out there. I think the sound effects are a little bit different game. Because someone just recorded a doorbell or like someone was clapping. It's not like it was, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's not like they were bound to a contract and you're making money off of it. But there's all kinds of different websites here. You know, wavesounds.com. But you could essentially go through it and they'll just have a whole thing of categories where you can download different things. But I'll get a generic zip. I'll make sure to make myself a note and put it out there and I'll email it. So you have that at your disposal. So once you get those little audio clips, you would just do the same thing you would do with the music. At this point, you're just importing audio. You're layering. You're just putting new things in, and you're kind of moving it around. You're making it sound right. And, you know, once you start getting a whole bunch in here, your timeline is going to get a little bit more robust. And once you click on this magnifying glass, you click on the right side of your mouse to scroll out, left side to scroll in. So you can even get real, real close here and cut some pieces. And you'll notice once you really get to podcasting, you'll know who says, and who has a lot of pauses. You'll be going through that a lot. And I do. There's some teachers, and I'm guilty of it too. But then you just really have to go through and pull a lot of those out if you want it to be fluid. Because you can spend in a 5-minute pod almost a minute of kind of, you know, going through that. So it can get kind of tedious. But let's go up here to project. Let's import one more piece of audio. And I'm going to import one more song and act like it's an audio clip just to show you how they kind of all come together here. And if you want to, if you're feeling like your editing prowess is up to snuff, what you can do is you can select one of these little pieces here, and you can go up to Edit, and you can go to Copy, and then you can go up to that first timeline, because I don't like to do that with the music. I like the music to be on a separate channel. I don't want to, like, because you've got the fade ins and outs, and that's hard to do because it's layered over another piece. But if you just have, like, clapping at the end, let's say this first piece here was like a poem being recited, you could go up here and kind of get your cursor set. And once you're where you want that cursor to be, you can go to Edit, and you can paste it, so it stays on the timeline. Yeah, that's also a way you can do it. So I'm going to go ahead, and if you want to just get rid of this channel, so for instance, this one here, I already got just one clip that I wanted out of it. You can just hit this X like you would in any other Windows environment, it's gone. And then from here, same thing. You can go up to File, you can export. I like to save every once in a while, so you're just going to save this project, and then you can export it. And what you can do too, and this is very important, and this is very cool too. When someone opens this up, if you go up under Project and Edit ID 3 tags, that's like a modifier. So when someone pulls this up, you can put what the name of it is. So if it was like a poem by a student, and their name would be in there. Yeah, if you go up under
Project.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. If you go under Project,
okay.
Edit ID 3 tags, then you can put all your modifiers. You can put the title, the name, you can put an album, you know, like your school's names, greatest hits, mm-hmm. track number, year, and they have a ton of genres here you can pull up. And then you can put your school motto in comments. You know, it's kind of a nice way of personalizing what you're putting out there. So that's nice. And then once you have those tags, same thing. You just go down here, and you're going to export it as an MP3. And it's going to give you this warning here that it's going to mix everything down. So essentially what they're saying is that if this second clip here is a little bit hotter than the first clip, it's going to fuse it all together so it sounds fine. So you're not listening to it, one sounds loud. Kind of that whole idea of the commercials when you listen to them are louder because they want to get your attention. Podcasts don't do that through here. Everything kind of gets on a flat line, so to speak. So it's going to just give you that warning before you do it. The same thing. You're just going to hit OK, and you're going to name it, and you're off and going. And just to show you real quick on, just to show you the size, this pod right here, like here's one right here. This might be kind of nice to listen to. Oops. And these kids love this when they were doing this poem recital. So Enrique here is going to read a poem.
This is Enrique, the go-call. Here comes the red go-call. Here comes the orange go-call. Here comes the yellow go-call. Here comes the green go-call. Here comes the blue go-call.
A little clapping at the end. You know, it's nice. The folks probably like that. The school loves it. Meadowmere is one of our better schools. The principal really likes this. That's a huge thing. If you get the buy-in, it's great. The one thing you got to be very careful of with this, and it's good that the IT department's taking this over, because that was an extreme amount of editing. He was starting over. There was a lot of pauses. There was a lot going on. I mean, the clip he sent over was like 2 minutes long, and that was 33 seconds with the clapping at the end. So that's the other thing you got to be careful about. And the other real important thing, too, is that you just, before you put them up, if you are going to be in charge of doing that, make sure that, or if somebody's going to do it for you, make sure that it gets approved by the superintendent, make sure it's listened to, that it's approved, because that's the other thing, too. We're starting to get to that 21st century now where when the student signs their releases, I don't know that pods and videos are a part of that. I mean, they may have been woven into it. That's the other thing that you need to run by your district, because that's a very important piece that needs to be run through, because you're going to get possibly a parent that's going to barnstorm and be upset if it's not approved. So at the front of this podcasting training, be sure that you do that, because that's very important. So why don't we do this? For those of us that have microphones, why don't you go through?
I don't have a software, but I have a microphone.
Okay. In fact, why don't we do this? I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit up here. For those of you that don't have a microphone, for those of you that do, let's start with that.
Okay.
Does anyone need a microphone? Let's try the CT net. Let's go back to Google again and download Audacity. I think the second or third one down is CT net, and they're pretty good about you don't have to go through any confirmation. You can just. Okay, then let's go to. Yes. If you don't mind participating in this, I'm just going to record clips up here. I'm going to record it, and then I'll have you sit down and you can kind of save it. And for those of you in the meantime, if you want to just go through the program, if you have any questions, just shout it up. We'll make it kind of informal. But I'll just have everybody kind of come up, because that way at the end, I'll have all the clips in there. I'll have it all named with your name. Everything will be ready to go, because I want to actually put together a podcast and send it to you too, just to show you how we can do this. So let me go ahead, and I'll just ask you one of these questions. It's on page 3. And let me go ahead and get this deployed here. And so now that we're almost an hour into this, you know a little bit about it. Do you have any ideas of wanting to do this and going back and trying to do it? Yeah?
Audacity is for the audio part.
Yeah.
What about the video part?
The video part is Adobe Premiere, which is a more robust program. But on your PCs in your district, if you're Windows-based, you should have a program, Windows Movie Maker. And this is how we access it through our district. It's kind of a weird way of accessing it. But ours is under Programs Accessories. And it's a free thing. It's usually a standard install.
You have a legal learning method.
Well, yeah, and I would hope in a district you would. So at this point, you can go in. And when Movie Maker opens up, it's a very simple based thing where you can get in there, you can capture video from a video device. So if you actually have like a tape in your video recorder, you can plug it in here and can capture it. Or if you actually have raw files already, you can import them in. So you can import video, you can import pictures. And once you do that, you get your elements. I'll show you here real quick. Let me do.
So if you use Movie Maker, you can do the video and audio all together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
However, you have to be careful in Movie Maker as far as having like multiple layers of music and audio.
Yeah.
It's very limited. A lot of times, one of the things that I've got a little bit over.
Yeah. You're right, it is.
It's very legit. It only gives, like, if you have video, you can have sound on your video,
yeah.
And you can add music to it or other video,
yeah.
But you can't have a music file and a sound file.
The
timeline. If it says, you know, they're separate,
yeah.
You won't let you do that, like Audacity does, because it only gives you really one audio track.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So it kind of lets you have both as if it's part of the video.
Yeah, yeah. It can get rather limited. But if you did want to just do something simple, something that just got the point across, then you may want to check with your department, maybe your high school's journalism department, or... Okay. Okay.
My next question is, we don't have any school websites.
Okay.
So how do I get it out?
I would... Do you have, like, a mailing list of folks you send things to? No? You could, yeah. Or you could... I'll look into this for you. I would bet that there's an educational site out there for podcasting that you could upload your file to their portal. And then you could send that link to parents and other folks if you want to. I'll look into that for you. I'll make a mental note of that to make sure. Because, you know, it's kind of like YouTube. You put your video out there and the world can watch it. I think there would be something like that for podcasting. And I think that would be really good. And I think it would be really good for districts that won't allow you to even put it on the website. I'll look into that for a while. Because that might be an effective way. Okay, yeah. And is that audio and video?
Yeah, you can. I just thought you had that little
foot
video. I saw it
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one.
Yeah.
And you just
uploaded it straight from there. Yeah. Because that's a really good website. Okay, TeacherTube. You might want to jot that down, TeacherTube. Okay. And then take a look out there, because that might be an effective way. If you can't go for the more robust approach of getting on your school's website, at least you'll get it out there. And if you want to, you can get the kids to give you emails for the parents, and you can just send an email to your district account, you know? And then from there, if you get a reply, what you can do is you can have all of these, you can have them replied, you can put them in a group mailing list group, so whenever you do successive podcasts that you want to send out. And that's an easy way. You're not hosting it. They have the bandwidth that they're hosting, and they can ping it that way, and that's an effective way, definitely. But with the Movie Maker here, essentially what you're doing is, I just have one picture here, but you're going to pull in all of your elements, and it's going to cascade out like thumbnails. And what you're going to do is you're just going to take it, and you're going to drag it, and you're going to pull it down. And you're going to have like a timeline. And you're going to do just like we did in Audacity. When you're done, and everything's ready to go, you're going to do Save Movie File. You can save it as a project, or you can save it as a movie file. And it's the same thing. It's going to ask you, how do you want to save it? Do you want to save it because you're going to send an email? Do you want it to be more low rent? Do you want to put it on the web? Do you want to record it to a CD? It'll give you options, and you just go through and select it. So that's a good way to do it. Okay, as our time dwindles a bit here, I'm going to go ahead and open up Audacity, and I'm going to ask you a question and record it down so that we can have our own happy podcast. And I will reiterate some of these things, you know, like Plantronics. I will archive my memory of our training and make sure that I get some things that are very important. The sound clips, everything that we can get out there so you're ready to go. So, you know, you have all of the elements that you need. And
have you used a flip or a small one?
Oh, for the video? Mm-hmm. I used this flip. This was actually a something that I got about 7 or 8 months ago. I have a Canon, and I have a little Pentax up here that's recording us right now. It's actually a video camera, an audio recorder, and everything. And I kind of reluctantly got involved and used this, and I really like it. Very vibrant. It has that whole, like, old 1970s camcorder feel to it. Very vibrant. The colors are very, very vibrant, you know. And it's really easy. This flips out here. And the only drawback to this is the audio is a bit tinny. It's like a snake in the background. But other than that...
Why have you gotten around? My teacher would use the flip for Windows Movie Maker and putting together presentations. Because we didn't use the editing software from the flip,
yeah,
we had to keep our flip plugged in the entire time until we exported it to
MOV. You need to export it first. Because Windows Movie Maker is like that. If you need to work with Windows Movie Maker, I would tell my kids create a folder with everything in there.
Because
you had to export it and put it in that folder, and then when you import it into your project, import it to your project.
Have you been able to get around
that? I've never used the flip, but I could use regular digital ones.
Yeah. The flip puts a codec encoder on there.
In the flip one, if you will act like you're going to mail it to a friend, email it to a friend, and put it in a folder on your desktop, email to a friend, then you can do anything with it. Yeah,
I tried to take the software off the flip and put it locally, so I wouldn't have to worry about how you can't do it. But I think the USB interacts with it. It doesn't take your battery life down because you got that electrical charge going through, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's where Premiere comes in very handy. Is,
yeah.
Is you can.
You can do it on a DVD burner
sure.
type thing. You can take and flip from that into onto a DVD.
Yeah, with this here, you could go to like a photo app, and I imagine they plug it in and it just takes it off of there.
Yeah.
And just puts it straight onto a DVD.
You can do that with, you know, if you have a new software, you leave DVD.
Yeah.
It's real easy.
Absolutely.
To run that DVD.
Yeah. But these are really nice. This is like an older one. And I think it only has 30 minutes on it, but the newer version has 60 minutes. And it's a bit better. There was a colleague at work that was wanting to capture his daughter's life. He just had a daughter about 6 months ago, and I said, get one of these. Just, you know, don't get, because a lot of people want to get all the equipment. They hear that you get the battery, you get this, you get that. It's like, just get this.
Well, a lot of those cameras nowadays, though, you can do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a great video.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you want, if you just want to capture the moment, you're not doing it for you know, TV signals or for anything that's really fancy, these are really very nice. I've been very impressed with it. Other than the sound, it kind of blew me away. I use it all the time now.
My sound on my flip is very, very good.
Is it? Is it? When'd you get yours? Recently?
With
Factory Flip. Okay. I ran into somebody that got it because Oprah gave it to the crowd. They're probably upset. They're like, man, I wanted the car.
How much do those run about?
These?
$118 on Amazon.
Yeah.
I just pulled it up.
Mm-hmm. But it's well worth
it.
There's versions.
I pulled up the one he had.
Okay, so who wants to take the hot seat first? And if you don't want to, you don't have to. If I could just get, you know, a handful that would like to, that would be great. And I will tell you what the question is up front so you can be ready. And I'll let you, if you want to just put the headset on, I'll let you do the recording. I'll let you do everything. I'm just going to ask you the question. And whenever I get back, I'm gonna record the question so we don't have to worry about, you know, whether my voice is on there right now. If I can just capture your answer and you can learn how to kind of do it a little better. So I'm gonna ask you, what do you think about podcasting after learning more about them? So when you're ready.
I think I'll be able to use this with my web design class. I teach high school, and I think the kids will be very interested in putting web podcasts on their website.
Perfect. Now let's go ahead and do a file. And then export as MP3. We have the DLL file. And then put your full name in there to save it. If you want to just close out of it over there on the left, the actual little file. That's that. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to volunteer to do a little? You can pick your question. You can pick whatever one you want. That's fine.
I think number three.
Three? Okay.
I'd like to just ask that one.
That's okay. Fine. No, that's
yeah,
fine.
But I think I answered number four, though.
That's fine. I will. That's the beauty of this process, is that when you're editing it, you
so
can kind of...
Way you want.
Yeah, exactly.
I just have some cool ideas I
want
to
get
you.
Okay, good. That's fine.
Went low. Where's the next one?
There you go, right there. Yeah, you want to use it.
Right, so what did I say was the answer?
I think number four.
Four? You want to do it for yourself? Okay.
All right, I just want to record.
I'm going to use some of the ideas I gave in this class by taking my Global Business Tech class students out and showcasing our sports teams, our different clubs and organizations, and what they do in the community, and then putting that hopefully on the school's website so that the community can see what kids are doing, not just in the classroom, but outside the classroom as well.
That's fine. That's what we can ask that. And if you want to just do a file, export it as an MP3,
and name it as the full name. That would be perfect. All right, if you want to just close that out. Yeah, yeah, just track, yeah. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to volunteer to be a part of the collective pod? Okay, that'd be good. Okay. Yeah, and then the red button there. And then to stop it, you're going to hit the yellow square. And then if you just want to hold that up and answer the question, that'd be great.
I signed up for this podcasting course because I wanted to find out more about podcasting and multimedia, and I think my students need to learn more about the technology. And I will be getting iPods this school year, so you definitely need to be working with me.
Perfect. And if you want to go up to File, I'll show you how to save it out. File, Export, and MP3. And then just name it the first and last name. How many of you have iPods at your school? Yeah? You got three? And you have some?
They have their iPods there.
Yeah.
They're trying to outlaw.
You know, I've read a lot of journals where they have a lot of articles where they have, you know, especially the college professors are like, no, don't use it. Because I guess that, you know, the kids can say the answers to it or whatever.
Well, it doesn't matter what that smartphone. You can smartphones nowadays, you know,
you
still have
all that. Well, I mean, the whole idea, I think, of the iPod is if you make a better car alarm, the criminal's going to get around it. I mean, and I think if you embrace the technology and say, you know what, let's watch Citizen Kane, and you can do it on your iPod. Let's listen to an old interview with Orson Welles. Let's watch this, let's watch that, listen to an audiobook. And think of a lot more districts embrace technology, they're going to make the kids smarter. I mean, we're in a very unique situation. I mean, it can't be one of the scare tactics either, because you don't want to take the kids the enjoyment away from it. Because ultimately, it's a tool of enjoyment, but it can be an educational thing, too. There's so many things you can use with it. So, does anyone else want to volunteer for the hot seat? No? Okay. Let me go ahead and give you an evaluation before I forget. And...